News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The nation's largest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, has tentatively agreed to pay a record $13 billion to settle allegations surrounding the quality of its mortgage-backed securities in the run-up to the nation's financial crisis. The agreement in principle with the Justice Department was reached last night during a phone call that included Attorney General Eric Holder and the bank's CEO, Jamie Dimon. It does not release bank employees from criminal liability. In Italy, demonstrators clashed with police in Rome today as tens of thousands of mostly young people marched to protest all-time high jobless rates, welfare cuts, and a shortage in low-income housing. More than 4,000 riot police were deployed in the streets. 15 people were arrested. NPR's Silvia Pagioli has more from Rome.
Many shops closed down as young demonstrators marched through the streets holding banners against a record-high 40% rate in youth unemployment. They also protested against government cuts to welfare programs, lack of affordable housing, and a planned high-speed train link to France they say is draining money from social services. Hooded protesters infiltrated the mostly peaceful march, turning over trash cans in front of the economy ministry and setting some on fire. They threw smoke bombs, eggs, and bottles at the ministry. Police defused a large firework with a bullet inside and say two officers were injured in the clashes. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
Northeast of San Francisco, two transit workers were struck and killed by an out-of-service commuter train. The Bay Area Rapid Transit Agency says the workers were performing track inspections and the BART train was on a routine maintenance run under automatic computerized control. The accident comes on the second day of a BART strike that brought no sign of a bargain today. The union wants unresolved issues to go to arbitration. Management says it'll only go to an arbitrator to deal with the entire contract. Emergency crews in Alberta, Canada are trying to contain a dangerous train derailment and fire. The train was hauling liquefied natural gas and crude oil. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, a small community west of Edmonton has been evacuated.
Officials in Alberta have declared a state of emergency after 13 cars of a CN freight train derailed overnight near the hamlet of Gainford, about 50 miles west of Edmonton. There was at least one explosion before cars carrying gas and oil ignited. Transportation Safety Board officials are on site and an investigation is underway. The accident comes just 4 months after another train hauling crude oil derailed in the Quebec town of Lac-Mégantic. The explosions and fire destroyed the downtown and killed nearly 50 people. That sparked a countrywide political debate about whether regulations covering the transportation of hazardous goods such as oil and gas go far enough. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
This is NPR. Firefighting helicopters in New South Wales, Australia. From the sky and the ground, crews are battling more than 80 destructive wildfires in the state. Hundreds of homes are damaged or destroyed. Authorities are trying to determine whether one of the fires was started during a military training exercise. In Belgium, a small plane crashed today, killing all 11 people on board. From Brussels, Terry Schultz reports the passengers were skydiving students and instructors.
A witness reports he'd seen some of the passengers trying to open their parachutes as the single-engine plane struggled to stay aloft, but none succeeded. All 10 skydivers and their pilot were killed when the plane plummeted to the ground in Namur, about 45 miles southeast of Brussels. Investigators haven't released any suspected cause of the accident. Bystanders say it appears a wingtip came off and that there was an explosion. Airfield authorities say the plane had been kept well-tuned and passed all maintenance checks. King Philip arrived at the scene in early evening, joining the Belgian Prime Minister and other luminaries, along with families and friends of the victims. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
An anonymous buyer at a British auction house has purchased an unplayable violin for more than $1.5 million. The instrument is believed to have been played by the bandmaster of the Titanic to calm passengers as the ship sank into freezing waters 101 years ago. The bandmaster, Wallace Hartley, was among those who drowned, but his violin apparently survived in a leather case strapped to his body. The winning bid is the most ever paid for a piece of Titanic memorabilia. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR.